Amen. Thank you, Wilson. Appreciate it. And thank you, family. You sound great. You look great. You're blessed. The things that we're called to, the things we get to participate in. I love the fact, you know, I love the fact that faith in God is such a sound and a logical choice. You look at the universe, there's no way that this universe came into existence by itself. We know it's not eternal. Scientifically, we know that. It's not possible scientifically that it could be eternal, and so it had to come from somewhere. And to have come about accidentally makes zero sense, even though some try to fit it into that pathway. And then the complexities about the universe. The organism is it's hyper-organized chemically and with scientific laws, and the most organized part of the universe is life itself, which is impossible to exist accidentally. You can't get from non-life to life accidentally. And then the organization of life and the complexities of life and the varieties of life, and on it goes. And then there's the moral logic that we all have a moral compass. All humans have an awareness that things are right and wrong, and they want what's right. And it goes from there, on and relationships and love and service, and on it goes. To know that there's a creator God, and then to see in his word the soundness of scripture, the consistency of scripture, the logic of scripture, the truth of scripture. Everywhere you can establish whether or not the Bible is accurate, it's accurate. Of course, some of the details, you can't tell what a conversation was 4,000 years ago, but you can certainly tell what cities were and what bodies of water existed and other things that happened, governments and kings and such. So the fact that we can soundly and logically and certainly walk in faith and know that there is a creator God and that the Bible is his word. So since that, last week we talked about obedience, and I tried to keep from the lessons from being too long, so it's continued. And so I was working on this week's lesson, and it's still continued, but I don't know when the continuation is going to come. It's such an amazing thing we ran into. What happened in my own studies is that the lessons I was working on Sundays and the lessons I was working on with the men's group on Tuesday night just crossed and completely mixed. And so it's exciting from my point of view, and you'll hear my excitement when I get to that part. It's amazing what God calls us to, and some of it Rocky's already brought up. Let's go to our Father in prayer that we can get ready for this lesson. Heavenly Father, we desperately need you. We are not competent to run our own lives. You are our Father. Jesus is Lord. Your word is our guide. And it is only by foolishness and arrogance that we think we know enough and can run our lives. We need to learn, and we accept the title as being children of yours, brothers and sisters of Christ, part of your family. Help us to follow your word and trust your word and obey your word as we should. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this is a quick review at the moment to catch up with some of the things we said last week, that because we're saved by grace, not by works, people tend to hyper accentuate that and then push the lordship of Christ and the obedience of our lives into the background as something unimportant. But only part of this is about salvation. Only part of this is about salvation. Absolutely, we're saved by grace through faith. But obeying God has been something constantly called for in Scripture. And since our faith is logical and sound and evidence filled and backed by evidence, it is exciting to see and to read the Scripture that talks about our Heavenly Father that he delivered to people and the calling he gave people. This scripture we read last week, he has told you, O man, what is good. This is Micah bringing in part of his prophecy to the Israelites. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? Right there is a powerful evidence. What a beautiful, what culture could you not bring that into? And it would be perfectly sound and sensible. People would be hungry for justice. People are hungry for kindness. People are hungry for folks around them not to be arrogant, but to be humble in the way they conduct their lives. What a calling that this gives. But the point from last week is this is just one of many places where we are given scripture, and I understand this is part of the old law. This is not under the new covenant, but it's an example of scripture. It's a great thing to follow, by the way, because of how sound it is, but it's part of the covenant of Moses, covenant under the law. But of all the places in scripture where God calls us to be obedient. In fact, this is Samuel talking to King Saul. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. We stumble over the showing of our Christian faith. The showing up at church has been a Christian equivalent to this kind of mistake under the Jewish law, where if you get your sacrifices right, if you show up at the temple at the right time, if you participate in the feasts, you're good. And he said, no. You need to be listening to God. And we can get into the show of Christianity rather than the walk of Christianity. So we listed last week areas of that call for obedience, and the first thing we talked about was our salvation, and read this scripture. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fires, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. These people will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That obedience, that trusting God and coming to him is absolutely part of our connection to him in Christ. And the warning is very sobering. And Peter writes this, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And we talked about this last week, how obedience to the truth brings a purification of souls. The part I kind of skipped by was the second part of the verse, which is rather amazing if you follow some of the pronouns. Why does this say we purified our souls? Not how. How became an obedience to the truth. But why? For a sincere love of the brethren. And since that's central to the why, it's not just salvation, it's relationship. It's plural. Therefore, since you've done that, since you've come to Christ for a fervent love of the brethren, fervently love one another. How short a gap can you get from coming to Christ to the love of the body? The church is not an afterthought. The church is not a, oh, by the way, you probably ought to be part of this group of people who live, who work near you and gather near you. No, it's part of our purpose. It's part of who we are. You cannot pry Christianity apart and say, well, I'm following Christ, but man, I don't like church very much. Or at least you can't take with that conclusion, therefore I'm not going to be part of it. If we're messed up in our relationships, then we have work to do. And we have plenty of mistakes here. Don't get me wrong, I don't have my eyes closed. But we have a genuine love for one another that's infected, if you don't mind that word, it's infected us. And we need to be more infected. Therefore, fervently love one another. You need us and we need you. I need you. Every one of you, every part of the body is important. We're talking about salvation, but it just struck me as I was going through preparing for this week's lesson that I skipped over this incredible description in this verse. It's not just obedience to the truth that purified our soul. It's for love. It's for the relationships of the body. Therefore, do it with fervor. Do it with energy. Do it with passion. Every day, you can connect to somebody in this church. Whether you ever get out of the house, you can call, you can text, you can write, you can then get out of the house, you can visit, you can have them over, you can be over. You should be involved in some of our weekly Bible studies. You should be involved in our Wednesday night gathering. You should be involved in our fellowship gatherings. We need each other. We can't just take church and say, oh yeah, well, it's that thing over there, but I'm following Christ. They're one. And we talked about this last week. We just read a scripture about obeying the gospel, about obeying the truth. And we talked about what is the gospel, and 1 Corinthians 15 describes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as being something we obey. And then we went to Romans 6 and Acts 2, where we find out the why and the what of our obedience. Romans 6 describes that when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. As we're buried in Christ and raised again to newness of life. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is absolutely connected to our baptism. That's the why. The what, how to do that, is described in Acts chapter 2, where the crowd called out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And we just read a minute ago, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Even Jesus is involved in this walk of obedience. Hebrews 5. So I ask you to have bring a paper Bible with you. It's really good. You can have an electronic one for doing checking me on some word uses or whatever during the lesson. But I recommend you have a notebook that you can take notes of these things. Having a Bible you can turn and compare and go back and forth physically is very useful in Bible studies. And having a notebook that you can take notes in of what's brought together in the lesson. Though he was a son, this is Jesus. This is Jesus being talked about in Hebrews. He learned obedience. You'd think anybody walked on this earth that need to learn obedience, it'd be Jesus. So don't criticize yourself if you need to learn obedience. I need to learn obedience. He needed to learn obedience. Although he was a son, he learned obedience in a manner that we don't want to learn obedience. Anybody ever learned obedience through suffering? Don't carry heavy boxes down the stairs by yourself. You might end up underneath them at the bottom of the stairs. Don't drive too fast going down the highway. The ticket or the accident might be a bad way to learn obedience. He learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to those who obey him. We didn't have this verse last week, but what a beautiful, powerful verse. What a humbling verse that we participate with Christ in the need to learn obedience. Even Jesus learned as a human, as he walked as a man, learned the pathway of obedience to God. So, absolutely, obedience brings us to salvation. Last week we talked about and went through how obedience helps us to defeat sin in our lives by identifying sins and by giving us pathways to defeat it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, that's a description of us, right? That describes you, doesn't it? Describes me sometimes, maybe, I hope. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. We're all really ignorant about a lot of things. Hopefully we're less ignorant this week than we were last week, this year than last year, this decade than last decade. We were ignorant, but we're getting out of ignorance, hopefully, as we learn the right things. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We won't belabor this. We talked about it last week, but what a beautiful call. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 5, we read through three different types of walking. Walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom are all there in those verses. And we learned what not to walk in. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, foolish talk, vulgar joking, coarse joking, etc. And there's more lists. What's interesting about some of the lists in the New Testament is you'll get a list of sins, and then the last line will be, and things like these. There's no complete list of the bad side of life, of sin. We're called to be Christ-like, and the rebellion, the old pathway is destructive to us and destructive to those around us. So our obedience is not just a learning about salvation. Our obedience is how to get us out of the mess of self-driven lives. And then three, which is where we'll spend a little bit of time today, in the maturing of the body. We talked a little bit about it last time. We read these verses last week. The proper working of each individual part in the body causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That we read this last week, that we each have a part in the maturing of the body. And we said, so we're going to continue this next Sunday. Well, I went back through that, and I got completely run over by the message of these scriptures. This is what we just read. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk in a manner worthy, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4 is all about the working of the body, especially the first part. The first call is this unity, diligent to keep the unity, But I skipped a word. I read it. Now, you've heard the preacher joke. We have jokes. We have all kinds of preacher jokes that aren't very funny. And this one is, when you run into a therefore, you've heard this before. Most all of you know this, where I'm going. When you run into a therefore, you have to see what it's there for. Ha, 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 I know. I told you they're not funny. But it is a good guide to stop in your Bible study and go, therefore. Ah, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What, therefore what? And to go before this verse and to find out what it's there for, to read about the therefore. And the verses immediately before it are Ephesians 3, obviously, chapter 3, and the last 8 verses. We're going to read these, 14 through 21. This is the why, right? We read through diligent, right? Diligent. We're diligent to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. This is the why for that diligence. Why are we supposed to be diligent about unity? What's the point of unity? Why is this so important? Immediately afterwards, he lists one Lord, one faith, etc. We'll get to that later. But Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, for this reason, I bend my knees before the Father. If you're way ahead of me, you already say, well, Robert, what's the reason? Well, that's before that. We won't get to that today. But it's amazing. What the reason is that's written about here is amazing also. But we're going to continue on forward. From whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. We're talking about God's glory. To be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner self. We have power effective in us because of his Spirit, which I said Rocky highlighted a few minutes ago. So that, verse 17 now, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. You got the Spirit in you. And in the next verse, he says, you've got Christ living in your heart through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And that's what this room is a room full of saints. You're saints. If you're in Christ, you're a saint. Not the popular identity of a saint, but someone who's been brought to God in Christ, made holy, covered by Christ's blood. What is the width and length and height and depth? The width, the length, the height and depth of the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. We've got the Holy Spirit in us in his power. We've got Christ living in our hearts that has a love that you're not going to get to the end of its width. You're not going to get to the end of its length. You're not going to get to the end of the height of the love of God. You're not going to be able to get to the end of the depth of the love of God. It's beyond knowledge, but I want you to know it. Next verse. Next verse is even more, or the second half of verse 19, not the next verse. That was the first half of verse 19. The second half of verse 19 reads, that you may be filled with what? Yeah, I know. You may be filled with what? To all the fullness of God. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, we've got Christ in us, and we're supposed to be filled to all the fullness of God. God's fullness accessed in us. I never quite caught on all three parts of the Godhead in three nearly consecutive verses, 16, 17, and 19. The Holy Spirit, the Son, and God Himself, all in us, that we're filled in some aspect of God's fullness. It causes you to stop, but I haven't even gotten to verse 20, and you know Ephesians 3:20, right? I mean, this is an amazing description of us. That's you he's talking about. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have Christ in you. You have the fullness of God in you or with you. And then he tells us the one we do know, the verse we do read and talk about. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God, we know this. And I don't want to over-describe this verse because you've read it and you know it. And it's an astounding verse. It's an incredible verse. Print it off and stick it to the side of your bedroom door or the bathroom mirror or the front of your refrigerator. God is able to do more than all we ask or think. You can't even think. You can't even imagine. Something that even approaches what God's able to do. And he can do it abundantly beyond anything you could possibly imagine. And we get pretty wild with our imaginations. God can do more beyond that you can't even begin to imagine it. Abundantly beyond. And that's God at working in us. Okay? To him. And this is the praise. All of that was educational. All of that was educational for us. But here's the praise. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Did I say this was talking about you? This isn't just written to the church in Ephesus. He's talking about all saints. And this makes it absolutely clear. To all generations, that's us, that's you. This is about you. And your relationship with God, you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you've got Christ in you, you've got the fullness of God in you, and that God has a power in you that can do things beyond anything you can imagine. He can do it abundantly beyond anything you can imagine. And that's at work in you. Therefore, be diligent. Now, I'm skipping a few verses. It says words in between that. But this is where our diligence comes from. That's the God we have. That's the power he's given us. That's the amazing relationship we have with us. How dare we say we don't need the church? To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I know man has messed up the functioning of the church. We've gotten all in the way of it. We have messed it up one generation after another. We stick on our own ideas. We twist things around. We don't listen or obey the scriptures. We do all kinds of mess with his church to where people are fed up with it now. But if we just have the church that Christ came to build, if we're just focused on the church that he describes in Scripture, let us be devoted and be diligent. That diligence is our obedience. The maturing of the church is our passion. Fervently love one another. And then we get this description. So therefore, be diligent. And here's more of the why, or the what, maybe. There is one body that's here, that's us in Christ. There is one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope, one Lord, one faith. Chew on that one a little bit. There's one faith, one baptism. Of course, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors. That's elders, by the way. Pastors is elders in this context. Another word for an elder. Pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, that's you and me, for the building up of the body of Christ, that's the church, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The maturity of the body is absolutely our obedience. Our obedience in this aspect, our obedience has a lot of different effects on our lives, but in this aspect is key to God's design of how the church is supposed to work. That we're interconnected with each other and we're focused on each other and we're fervent and diligent about serving and loving and helping and uniting with each other. I told you I'd get kind of passionate about this. It's an amazing scripture, and I ask you to go back and read through chapter 3. You can see what the other for this reason is. We don't have time for it now. That's also amazing, the for this reason. It's astounding. I think I understand some of it, and then I go back and do another study. Like I said, the men's group is coming right through Ephesians 3, and this study was coming right through Ephesians 4, and it just had this intersection in my notes, and I went, oh my goodness. What an amazing thing we're called to. What an amazing thing we get to participate. There's a lot more of this study, but that's going to have to be a different day. Paul says he received grace and apostleship. Beginning of Romans, the beginning of the letter to the Roman church, he said he received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Our faith isn't just a mental assent. Our faith is an active life. The obedience of faith among all the Gentiles on behalf of Christ's or his name. Thank you so much. If there's any here today who have not been obedient in their lives, we can pray with you. If you're ready to be baptized in Christ, we can help that to happen. If you want a study of the word, we can do that with you. Whatever we can do, let us know as we stand and sing.